May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As we were getting ready for worship this morning, Roger reminded me that the USS Constitution is setting sail today for the first time in a number of years under true sail. And I guess it's a good thing that we are not there, because if we were, we would be listing a bit with the number of folks sitting on this side of the ship compared to the number there. So I'm grateful to those of you who are helping to provide some ballast on that side of the church, which indeed sometimes is compared to the ship of faith. Earlier this week, I was worshiping in another church. I attended an evening worship service celebrating the Feast of St. Mary the Virgin, specifically the feast day on August 15th that honors Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the belief that at the end of her life, she was bodily taken up into heaven to be with her Son. It's an important feast day in the Roman Catholic Church's liturgical calendar, but it is part of our calendar as well in the Anglican tradition, and there are Episcopal parishes that celebrate that day with special services. And so it was on a hot, humid evening that I found myself at All Saints Church in Ashmont, where hymns were sung, the word was proclaimed, and the bread was broken. At the celebration of the Eucharist, I moved forward at the invitation to receive the sacrament, knelt at the altar, and closed my eyes to pray as I waited for the priest to come with the bread. But no sooner had I knelt when the person who was behind me went and knelt as I did, and as he did, kind of bumped me with his elbow as if to say, "There's not enough room here." My devotion turned to annoyance. And I looked over only to see that it was a friend of mine, whom I did not know was at the service, a friend who can be rather irreverent, a clergy colleague, and indeed he was expressing in his own way that he was delighted to see me there beside him at the altar rail. So I smiled, then returned my gaze to the altar, received the body and blood of Christ, and indeed, returning to my pew, saw several other friends as well. And as I prayed back in my pew after receiving the sacrament, I realized that I had just experienced what it means to be part of the body of Christ. The grace of being in worship, the joy of being invited to the table, an acknowledgement of my hunger and thirst as I approached the altar, and then sudden annoyance as I bumped into someone else in this body of Christ, only to be replaced by glad recognition at the sight of a friend beside me. That whole experience reminded me that when we gather at the table, whether it is in Ashmont or here on Devon Street, it is to celebrate a great mystery. Now, the mystery has been described as these normal objects of bread and wine being transformed into the body and blood of Christ. And the church has spent centuries reflecting on that mystery and debating just how it occurs and just what occurs. If you grew up in the Roman Catholic tradition, then you know that there is the belief that in the midst of our worship, the ordinary elements of bread and wine truly become the actual flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. A reverence for those elements, both as they are consumed and as they remain, is rooted in that understanding that we behold the living Christ in these elements. Many of the reformers moved away from such a belief, and at the other end of the spectrum in the Christian tradition is the belief that these elements of bread and wine are reminders of the sacrifice Christ made, that this is a memorial meal that helps us to remember and recall, but that the bread and wine are not changed into something radically different. Now, in recent years, Roman Catholics, Orthodox Christians, Episcopalians, and other Anglicans and Protestants have actually begun to find some common ground about our understanding of this mystery. By by suggesting that in the celebration of the Eucharist, we do know and experience the presence, the real presence of Jesus Christ. And the primary role is being occupied in part by our willingness to say we're not always going to be able to say precisely what that real presence is or how it can be precisely defined. But my experience with my friend and the community who gathered in Ashmont on Wednesday reminded me that there is a great mystery of the Eucharist that unfolds whenever we celebrate it, that actually you and I probably can describe more precisely, define more clearly. And we can do that because it is not the mystery about what happens to the elements, but what happens to us. We have the experiential knowledge of being able to define this. When I was teaching our children about the meaning of communion, I told them that when we exchange those opening phrases before the Eucharistic prayer, I am in effect asking you for permission to pray on all of our behalf. I'm checking in with you to see if each of us is ready for the Eucharistic prayer. For it's not so much my prayer, but the church's prayer, which any priest prays on behalf of the whole community. And I need to see if you're ready. Because week after week, what I am asking is, are we ready to be changed? Are we ready to be transformed? Whichever Eucharistic prayer we pray, in this season we're using prayer A in the Book of Common Prayer, there's always a part when we ask the Holy Spirit to sanctify, to make holy the gifts of bread and wine. The words we use in today's prayer are these: sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. But do you recall what comes after those words? Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. Sanctify each of us. Make us holy. Make us the body of Christ. The mystery of the Eucharist. How bread and wine are changed, and how human lives are changed. A community of individuals, very human individuals, who sometimes nudge each other lovingly, sometimes bump into each other unintentionally, or hurt each other quite intentionally, can continually be formed into the community that is the body of Christ. St. Augustine, great teacher from the 4th century, recognized that truth when he referred to our meal this way: I am the food of grown men and women. Grow, and you shall feed upon me. You will not change me into yourself as you change food into your flesh, but you will be changed into me. Or as Jesus himself put it, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. And those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. We tend to think of food and drink as those things that we take into ourselves that we will be nourished. The food is digested and changed for our benefit. But this food, this is the meal that changes us, for Christ's benefit. This is the food that enables me to look at the altar rail and smile in recognition at the face of a friend. It's also the meal that enables me, when that person next to me actually is rude or unthinking, to see through that annoyance in my heart and see a brother or sister in Christ. It's the meal that allows me to greet a stranger as friend and to welcome even my enemy to the table that God has set. The mystery of real presence in the bread, in the wine, in the people gathered at the table. In the likes of you and me, so often so undeserving, so often yearning for something we can't name, sometimes annoyed with each other. The likes of you and me who pray to be changed even when we really don't want to be, but who then discover the abundant grace of God at work in us. It's the mystery of persons who come to the altar knowing our sins have been forgiven and that no imperfection can hinder God's love for us, and that what is required here is not the knowledge of the strength of our faith, but only the knowledge of the depth of our hunger and thirst. It's said that St. Augustine, when he administered communion, at times used these words: receive what you are, become what you receive. May it be so for us today and always. Amen.